రీడింగ్ ఫ్రమ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం క్యాంటో 3 చాప్టర్ 4. ద చాప్టర్ ఎంటైటిల్డ్ విదుర అప్రోచెస్ మైత్రేయ అండ్ వీఆర్ రీడింగ్ టెక్స్ట్ 8. పర్పర్ట్ అకార్డింగ్ టు శ్రీల విశ్వనాథ్ చక్రవర్తి ఠాకూర్, ద లార్డ్స్ సిట్టింగ్ పోస్చర్ కీపింగ్ హిస్ బ్యాక్ అగేన్స్ట్ ద న్యూలీ గ్రోన్ బ్యానియన్ ట్రీ ఇస్ ఆల్సో మీనింగ్ఫుల్. అశ్వత్థ, ద బ్యానియన్ ట్రీ is so called because the tree does not die very quickly. It continues to live for many, many years. His legs and their energies are the material ingredients, which are five in all: earth, water, fire, air and sky. The material energies represented by the banyan tree are all products of his external potency and are therefore kept to his back. And because this particular universe is the smallest of all, the banyan tree is therefore designated as small or as a child. Tyakta Pippalam indicates that he had now finished his pastimes in this particular small universe, but since the Lord is absolute and eternally blissful, there is no difference between his leaving or accepting something. The Lord was now prepared to leave this particular universe and go into another, just as the sun rises on one particular planet and sets in another, simultaneously, but does not change its own situation. Om Agyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Garave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Apitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavansha శ్రీ రూపం సాగర జాతం సగణ రఘునాథాన్వితం తం సజీవం సాద్వైతం సవధూతం పరిజన సైతం కృష్ణ చైతన్య దేవం శ్రీరాధా కృష్ణ పాదాన్ సగణ లలితా శ్రీ విశాఖాన్వితాంశ హే కృష్ణ కరుణా సింధో దీనబంధో జగత్పతే గోపేశ గోపికా కాంత రాధాకాంత నమోస్తుతే. తప్త కాంచన గౌరాంగీ రాధే వృందావనేశ్వరీ వృషభానుసుతే దేవీ ప్రణమామి హరి ప్రియే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానామ పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య భూ నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర్ శ్రీవాసాది గౌరభక్తవృంద. హరే కృష్ణ హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ. నమో విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణ పృష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశ తారణే. హరే కృష్ణ. సో వెరీ వామ్ వెల్కమ్ టు వన్ అండ్ ఆల్ ప్రెసెంట్ ఓవర్ హియర్ అండ్ ఆల్సో టు దోస్ లిస్నింగ్ ఆన్లైన్. యు నో వాట్, యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ ఐ సాట్ ఆన్ దిస్ వ్యాసాసన్, ఐ వాజ్ రిమైండెడ్ ఆఫ్ అ వర్స్ ఫ్రమ్ భగవద్గీత. ఇన్ ద ఫస్ట్ చాప్టర్ దేర్ ఇస్ మెన్షన్డ్ హే పథుశ్చ శరీరే మే రోమహర్షస్య జాయతే గాండీవం సంసతి హస్తాత్ త్యక్చైవ పరిదాయతే. ఇన్ దిస్ వర్స్ అర్జున్ ఇస్ టెలింగ్ కృష్ణ, ఓ కృష్ణ, దీస్ ఆర్ మై ఓన్ పీపుల్, హౌ కెన్ ఐ ఫైట్ విత్ దెమ్, మై హ్యాండ్స్ ఆర్ మై బాడీ ఈస్ ట్రెమ్లింగ్, మై స్కిన్ ఇస్ బర్నింగ్, ద గాండీవ ఇస్ స్లిపింగ్ అవుట్ ఆఫ్ మై హ్యాండ్స్, మై హెడ్ ఇస్ రీలింగ్, ప్లీజ్ డూ సంథింగ్, ప్లీజ్ హెల్ప్ మీ. సో యాజ్ సూన్ యాజ్ ఐ సాట్ హియర్ అండ్ సో యూ ఆల్ ఓవర్ దేర్, I also underwent a similar kind of feeling, you know. These are my own people. I attend morning program with them every day. How can I speak in front of them? Something like that, you know. But because the service has been given, I seek blessings from each one of you that I may be able to speak something that takes you all closer to Krishna. And in the process, the same may happen to me as well. So, yes. So, we just recited text 8. And because couple of days back, Tarun Krishpu already spoke quite a bit on this verse, we'll also take a look at text 7 and try to discuss something from there, because that has also been allotted to me.
Can you speak a little slower?
Okay. 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 So, we'll just go through text 7 as well, because that has also been allotted to me. So, this is how it goes. Shama vadatam virajam prashantaruna lochanam dorbish chaturbhir viditam pita kaushambarena cha. Translation. The Lord's body is blackish, but is eternal, full of bliss and knowledge, and very, very beautiful. His eyes are always peaceful, and they are reddish like the rising morning sun. I could immediately recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead by his four hands, different symbolic representations, and yellow silk garments. So this verse is being spoken by Uddhava, and he talks about Krishna's beauty, his eyes, his hands, his symbolic representations, and his garments. So let's start with Krishna's garments. And I have a question for you all to begin with. What color clothes does Krishna wear in the spiritual world? Yellow, right? That's what most of our devotees think. That Krishna wears only yellow color clothes, Balaram wears only blue color clothes, and Radharani wears only blue color clothes. But if that's the case, then didn't the pujaris of Bhaktivedanta manor make a mistake yesterday by dressing them in white color? I asked this question to a devotee yesterday, and he gave an interesting reply. He said, Prabhu, this is London. Here Krishna can wear anything. In the spiritual world, he wears only yellow. Don't worry. So I told him, you know, height of mental speculation, you know. So, yeah. So what's the answer? So it's actually quite simple that these colors, when they are mentioned in the scriptures, they are the favorites of these personalities. So yellow is the favorite of Krishna, blue is the favorite of Balaram, blue is the favorite of Srimati Radharani. Just like when I was young, my favorite color was orange. So there are so many pictures of mine wearing orange color clothes. But that doesn't mean that I didn't wear other colors, right? I did wear other colors, but it's just that I wore that particular color more often. So similarly, Krishna wears this color more often, but he does wear other colors as well. Like it is said at one place that when Krishna visits different gopis and different kunjas, so what he does is he matches the color of his garments with the color of the kunja. You know, so there's variety in the spiritual world, right? Just imagine, you know, means Krishna wearing yellow colored clothes daily. This sounds only so boring, right? So yeah, there's variety in the spiritual world. So it's also said that Krishna, on different days, he puts tilak made of different materials, right? So yes, there's variety in the spiritual world. So yes. And then the translation also says of the seventh verse that the Lord's body is blackish, but he is very, very beautiful. So I was thinking about it. In some parts of the world, people think that the beauty of a person is directly proportional to the fairness of the skin, right? But that's incorrect. For example, in Mahabharata, there's mention of Draupadi. What was the color of Draupadi? Black. She was blackish in color. And it's mentioned that she was extremely beautiful. So much so that many kings had wanted to marry her. Not ordinary people, many kings, right? It's only because of that the entire Swayamvar thing happened. It's only because of that Duryodhan got offended. It's only because of that Duryodhan tried to disrobe her in the dice game. And it's only because of that the entire Mahabharata war took place. Right. Another example, Lord Ramachandra. What was his color? Green. He's greenish in color. But still, Valmiki Ramayana mentions that he was extremely beautiful. If you go through the beginning chapters of Valmiki Ramayana, you'll get to know about the beauty of Lord Ramachandra. And the third example is Krishna himself mentioned here, right? Krishna was so beautiful that gopis used to say, the perfection of the eyes is to have the darshan of Krishna playing his flute. Akshanvatam phalamidam na param vidamaha. Akshanvatam. For those people who possess eyes, means what? those who are not blind. For them, na param vidamaha, we do not know anything higher worth seeing. That's Krishna. And also, in Srimad Bhagavatam, at so many places, the beauty of Krishna has been mentioned. Like the famous Varhapidam verse. Varhapidam natavaravapuha karnayo karnikaram bibhradvasaha kanaka kapisham vaijayantim chamalam randran venur adhara sudhaya purayan gopavrindar vrindaranyam swapada ramanam pravishad gita kirtihi. What is being said here? Barha pidam. Barha means peacock feather. So Krishna, he is wearing a peacock feather on his head. Natavara vapuha means he is dressed like a dancer. Natavar, Srila Prabhupada translates Natavar as the best of dancers, unparalleled. Natavar vapuha karnayo karnikaram. And on his ears, Krishna is having a karnikar flower. What's a karnikar flower? It's a very special flower. It's bluish in color and it looks like lotus. So blue lotus, you can imagine. Okay. And what's next? Vibhrad vasaha kanaka kapisham. Means he is wearing garments of which color? Kanaka kapisham. Yellow colored garments with a golden hue. Vaijayantim chamalam. And he is wearing a Vaijayanti garland, Vaijayanti mala. Randhran venur adhara sudhaya. And what is Krishna doing? Randhran venu. He is playing on his venu. Venu is a kind of flute. There are three kinds of flute which Krishna generally plays. Venu, Murli and Vanshi. So yeah, I'm not going to go into the technical details. If somebody is interested, please refer Nectar of Devotion, chapter 26. So yeah, so Krishna picks up one of these three kinds of flutes according to his mood. It's not that Krishna picks them up. They are servants of Krishna in the spiritual world, in Dasya Ras. So there are five kinds of rasas, right? Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya, Madhurya. So there are some servants in Dasya Ras like Rasal, Patri, etc. Again, I'm not going to go into technical details. Refer chapter 36 if you want to know more about servants of Krishna, Nectar of Devotion. So yeah, so these servants, they facilitate Krishna with the right kind of flute, basically to be able to serve him properly, to be able to enhance his mood. Okay. So yes, Randhran. So Krishna, what is he doing? He's filling the holes of his flute with the nectar from his lips. Randhran venur adhara sudhaya purayan gopavrindar. And what are others doing? Gopavrinda. What are other cowherd boys doing? Gita kirtihi. They are singing his glories as he is walking in the forest of Vrindavan. So yeah, like that. So this is one verse. Then there's another verse which is mentioned in the 14th chapter of 10th canto. In the prayers of Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma speaks a series of verses, right? So he begins his prayers with this verse. Now midyate brava pushe tadidambaraya gunjavatam saparipichala sanmukhaya, like that. So now midya, now me, I offer my praises. Idya, O worshipable Lord. Now midya te brava pushe, vapush means the body. Te brava pushe, O Krishna, whose body is of the color of dark clouds. Now midya te brava pushe tadidambaraya, who's wearing clothes of the color of lightning. Gunjavatams paripichalasan mukhaya. Gunjavatams. Gunjavatams means he's wearing earrings made up of gunja flower. Gunja flower or gunja berries. So you must have heard about Krishna wearing gunja mala, right? A garland made up of gunja flowers. Sometimes he wears garland made up of gunja flowers. Sometimes he wears earrings made up of gunja flowers. So in this verse, he's wearing earrings. So like this. And then Brahma goes on to describe the other features of Krishna. And then there's a verse in the 23rd chapter. So these three verses, why I chose them? Because they are considered to be amongst the sweetest verses from the entire Srimad Bhagavatam. So yeah, this third verse disappears in the 23rd chapter. The 23rd chapter is about the deliverance of the wives of the Brahmanas. Right? So just to give you some prelude to this verse, what happens is one fine day, Krishna and Balaram, they are out with their friends, with the cowherd boys, and they are herding their cows, and that particular day they did not have any breakfast. So all of a sudden the boys call out, Ram Ram Mahabaho, O Krishna, O Balaram, we are being tortured by hunger very much. So please help us out. Please make some arrangements for food. So in this, Jiva Goswami comments, were the boys really hungry? No, they were not hungry. Even if they would have been hungry, probably they would not have called it out. What the boys thought? Krishna has not had anything since morning and he must be extremely hungry. But if we tell Krishna that you must be hungry, please make some arrangements of food for yourself, then Krishna will never agree to that. Okay, he'll never get into action. So the boys thought, okay, let's take it on us. Let's tell Krishna that we are hungry, then Krishna will come into action. So this is the sweetness, this is the kind of dealings which Krishna has with his devotees every day in the spiritual world. And it's no rocket science. We all can be a part of it. All we need to do is qualify ourselves and go back home, back to Godhead. So yeah, so Krishna is asked by the boys to make some arrangements for food. So what does Krishna tell? Krishna tells that, okay, nearby there are some brahmanas. What you do, just approach them. They have some very nice foodstuffs with them. Just tell them to give some of it to you. But please don't ask for charity in my name. Why? Because Krishna was known as the son of Nanda Maharaj. So a brahmana would never give charity to a vaishya. He might still end up giving up something to a kshatriya. So therefore, please go and ask charity in the name of Balaram. Because Balaram is known as son of Vasudev, right? So the boys go to the brahmanas and they say, we have Krishna and Balaram waiting outside. They are extremely hungry. You seem to be having some really nice food stuff. Can you please give us some of it? So Shukadev Goswami mentions that these brahmanas, they did not even reply a simple yes or no. They completely ignored the boys. And from this, a very wonderful teaching can be derived, that sometimes we are so busy in our daily activities, so-called important activities, that we might end up ignoring Krishna. You know, we might think that, okay, means we can put Krishna on the back seat for some time, we'll prioritize him some other day. But no, this is not ideal. We should make sure that we give some good quality time to Krishna every single day. Otherwise, what will happen? Just like these brahmanas, at the end of this pastime, they lament. They heavily lament, you know. There's a very nice verse, I think 40th verse in the same chapter, where the brahmanas say, yeah, to hell with our threefold birth, our vow of celibacy and our extensive learning. To hell with our aristocratic background and our expertise in the rituals of sacrifice. These all are condemned because we were inimical to the transcendental personality of Godhead. Right? So just like these brahmanas are lamenting, if we do not take Krishna seriously now, then towards the end of our life, we may also end up lamenting. To hell with our bank balance, to hell with our luxurious car, to hell with our big house, to hell with our degrees, this, that. Nothing wrong with the degree, nothing wrong with the bank balance, nothing wrong with the luxurious car. But all of this should go hand in hand with advancement in Krishna consciousness. Right? So yes. So the boys were put off. They come back. And Krishna tells them, don't be upset. Right? So this time, you please go to the wives of these brahmanas. And these wives of the brahmanas, they are not ordinary people. They are very exalted devotees. So you go and ask something from them, they'll definitely give to you. They'll not disappoint you. So how the wives of these brahmanas became devotees? That's an interesting story. So it's said that when Krishna was a small child, in the house of Maharaj Nanda, several workers used to come. Workers, servants, maid servants, fruit vendors, etc. And when they used to visit Maharaj Nanda's palace, they used to see Krishna. They used to observe his activities. They sometimes even got an opportunity to interact with him. The famous fruit vendor pastime, right? So after doing all this, when they used to return back to their places, they used to have discussions about all of it. They used to discuss Nama, Rupa, Guna, Leela of Krishna. And It is during these discussions that these wives of the Brahmanas sometimes took part. And it is by hearing about Krishna in these discussions that these wives of the Brahmanas became immensely attached to Krishna. So much so that Krishna entered their hearts through the holes of their ears. So yes, so that's why they are so exalted devotees. So Krishna told them, don't think that they are ordinary people, you know. So yes, when these boys go to the wives of the Brahmanas and when these ladies get to know that, oh, Krishna and Balaram are standing outside, they become ecstatic, you know, they become crazy. What they do? They pick up whatever possible things they can pick up, whatever foodstuff they can pick up, and they start running out of their homes. It is mentioned that when they were running out, their family members, relatives, husbands, etc. tried to stop them, but they didn't care about any of them. They just came out. And when they came out, they saw Krishna for the very first time with their own eyes in person. And earlier Krishna had entered their heart through the holes of their eyes. This time, once again, Krishna entered their hearts, but this time through the aperture of their eyes. Earlier Krishna had entered through the holes of their ears, this time through the aperture of their eyes. So it is at this point of time that Shukadeva Goswami describes how Krishna was looking. Shamam hiranya paridhim vanamalya barha dhatu pravalanat veshamanu vratamse vinyasta hastamitarena dhunanam abjam karnotpalalaka kapola mukhabjahasam. The translation goes like this. His complexion was dark blue and his garment golden. Wearing a peacock feather, colored minerals, sprigs of flower buds, and a garland of forest flowers and leaves, he was dressed just like a dramatic dancer. He rested one arm upon the shoulder of a friend and with the other twirled a lotus. Krishna is so stylish, you know. Lilies graced his ears, his hair hung down over his cheeks, and his lotus-like face was smiling. When I read translations like this in Bhagavatam, no, I think that these big personalities, film stars, celebrities, they unnecessarily hire expensive makeup artists, hairstylists, this, that. You know, they should simply read Bhagavatam. They'll end up saving so much money, you know. So yeah, this is the third verse. This was the third verse. And then there's another verse which is mentioned in the ninth canto, which describes Krishna's beauty. So now you'll ask, oh, how come Krishna is mentioned in the ninth canto? Yes, he is mentioned. So basically what happened, Parikshit Maharaj inquired from Shukadeva Goswami about the different incarnations of Krishna, right? So in response, Shukadeva Goswami told about Narasimhadev in the seventh canto, about Vamanadev in the eighth canto. In the ninth canto, he talks about Lord Ramachandra. And towards the end, in brief, he also talks about Krishna. And from his side, Shukadeva Goswami was done. He had completed Srimad Bhagavatam. He was done from his side. It was only because of Parikshit Maharaj that he ended up asking some 9-10 back-to-back questions after 9th canto that the 10th canto and subsequently the 11th and the 12th canto also appeared. Otherwise, Bhagavatam would have been fully of only 9 cantos, you know. So it is during that brief description of Shukadeva Goswami in the 9th canto, this verse comes. Yasyananam makarakundala charu karna brajat kapola subhagam savilasahasam nityotsavam natatripur drishibhi pibantyo naryo narasya mudita kupita nimescha. What does this verse say? Yasyananam. Ananam means the face. Krishna's face is very beautiful. Why? What's there in Krishna's face? Yasyananam makar kundala. He is wearing earrings in the shape of sharks. Makar. Makar means sharks. Makar kundala charu karna. Charu karna means his ears. They are extremely beautiful. Brajat kapola subhagam savilasaha samnityotsavam. Those devotees who are looking at this beautiful face of Krishna, what are they having? They are having a constant festival. Nitya utsav. Nitya means constant. Utsav means festival. They are having a constant festival. Nityotsavam natatripur, and they are never getting satisfied. If you get satisfied, means the festival ends, right? okay, bye bye, we are done, let's go back home. But they are never satisfied. That's why their festival is constant. It's eternal. And why is it eternal? Because even if they are about to become satisfied, Krishna's beauty is ever increasing. So it increases and they are still not satisfied. When they are again about to become satisfied, Krishna's beauty again increases and again they are not satisfied. So that's how it goes on. So Nityotsavam Nata Tripur Drishibhi Pibantyo. And these people who are looking at Krishna's face, enjoying the constant festivities, they are drinking nectar. Pibantyo. From where? Drishibhi, from their eyes. Naryo Narasya Mudita Kupita Nimesha. And Shukadev Goswami says that you might be thinking that because Krishna is in a male body, this festival would be enjoyed by only women. Right? But no, that's not the case. Don't think like that. Naryo Naraha, both the men and the women, both enjoyed this festival. And these devotees who are looking at Krishna's face, enjoying this festival, amidst this festival, sometimes they used to get pissed off. They become angry. Kupita. On whom? On Lord Brahma. Why? Because he has created these eyelids. You know. So these eyelids, what do? They create an obstruction in this constant festival. So that's why they chastise Lord Brahma. You are a bad creator, you know. Next time when you come up with a human body, please come up with a better design. Something like that. So, yeah, means, so yes, these are wonderful descriptions of Krishna's beauty. And when we read such descriptions, we should not think that Krishna is beautiful because of these different ornaments, flowers, etc. No. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Bhushanera Bhushana Anga Tahe Lalita Tri Bhanga Tahara Upara Bhudha Nunartana. Bhushanera Bhushana Anga. Don't think that Krishna's beauty is affected by these ornaments. No. Rather, it's the opposite. It's the beauty of the ornaments which gets increased by being placed on the body of Krishna. You know, that is Krishna. And these descriptions which I talked about, which we discussed till now, these are only taking into account Krishna's physical appearance. If we take into account Krishna's other features, then there are chapters after chapters, chapters altogether, you know, like Krishna's playing of his flute. So there's an entire chapter, chapter 21 in the 10th canto. The name of the chapter is Gopis Glorify the Song of Krishna's Flute. So in this it's said that when Krishna used to play on his flute, it was so sweet, so amazingly sweet that sometimes the impossible used to happen. Those things used to happen that had never happened. For example, River Yamuna, in which direction does it flow? It flows downstream, right? Any river flows downstream. But when Krishna used to play on his flute, sometimes River Yamuna, it used to flow upstream. Why? Because it had a desire to offer the lotus flowers present in the waters inside River Yamuna at the feet of Krishna. So for that reason. And at another place it's mentioned that if a calf is drinking milk from the udders of its mother, from the milk bags of its mother, and if at that time Krishna begins playing on his flute, then what would happen? The calf would stop drinking the milk. And the milk, which is still there in the mouth, the calf is not able to take it down its throat. It's that much wonderstruck, you know. And this calf is so much mesmerized by Krishna's beauty. Sri Sri Radha Gokulanand ki, Sri Sri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki. And this calf, it's so much wonderstruck by Krishna, so much mesmerized by Krishna's beauty, that it tries to turn around and have a look at Krishna and embrace Krishna within its heart. But it's unable to do so. Why it's unable to do so? Because its eyes are filled with tears, tears of love, premashru, you know. And yeah, it's also mentioned that when Krishna used to play on his flute, to hear his songs, the demigods used to arrive from their heavenly abodes. And yeah, when this entire scene is happening, when Mother Yamuna is trying to offer lotuses at Krishna's feet, when the calf is shedding tears of love, when the demigods are arriving, when this entire scene is happening, then Shukdev Goswami writes that in the background there are some bamboo trees which are seeing all these things happening, and at a distance, standing at a distance, they are becoming extremely happy and proud. Why are they becoming happy and proud? Because their descendant, in the form of a flute, is being used in the service of Krishna, you know. So, this is like, basically, all this is taken from the 21st chapter of Bhagavatam. There is a wonderful painting also, made by Jadurani Mataji. It's a proper BBT photo, based on this entire chapter. If I would have had a projector, I could have shown it to you. Oh, okay, let me just try to show it to you from here. So, I'm not sure whether you have seen this photo or not. So, yeah, this has all these details, you know, the bamboo trees, the demigods in the sky, the Krishna's blue karnikar flower, and the Yamuna trying to offer lotuses, etc. So, yeah, if somebody wants this photo, you can approach me later. So, yeah, so these wonderful prayers are there. So, these prayers can be recited in front of the lordships when we visit them, when we see them, when we meet them. And if we don't feel like offering prayers, then we should definitely offer. The more we pray, the more we'll want to pray. It's just like chanting. For chanting, it is said, right? The more we chant, the more we'll want to chant. The more we read, the more we'll want to read. Similarly, the more we pray, the more we'll want to pray. Right? So, yes. And these prayers help us a lot in establishing our personal relationship with the Lord. It's a very important limb of devotional service. Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Pada Sevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Vandanam. Right? So it's a very important limb. And even if we think that we might end up making some grammatical mistake, oh, we should not speak it like that. No, no worries. Even if we speak in bits and pieces, that's perfect. Krishna will be extremely happy. Krishna is Bhavagrahi Janardana. Murkho vadati vishunaya, dhiro vadati vishunave, ubhayastu samam punyam bhavagrahi janardana. So, murkho vadati vishunaya. A foolish person, he may say vishunaya. When we apply tilaks, when we apply 12 tilaks on our body, we speak this mantra, right? Om Vishnave Namaha. So, instead of speaking vishunave, a foolish person may recite vishunaya. Dhiro vadati vishunave. But a dhir person, what he'll recite? He'll speak Vishnave. Ubhayastu samam punya. But don't worry, both of them will get equal benefit. Samam. Why? Because our Krishna, our Lord Janardhan is Bhavagrahi. He accepts the mood of the worshipper. So yeah, that's mostly from the 7th verse. We don't have much time, but yeah, we can discuss a bit from the 8th verse as well. So yes, this 8th verse, so just to give you some context, is basically about, so what has happened is Krishna has made arrangements to send the Dwarkavasis back to their respective places, and now they have gone back, and now Krishna is also preparing to leave the planet. And yeah, this is the thing. So when I read this section for the first time, a question had come to my mind, that Krishna has sent the Dwarka Vasis before his disappearance back to their respective places. But what about the Vraj Vasis? What about the residents of Vrindavan? There is no mention in the entire Bhagavatam what happened to them. So does it mean that even after Krishna's disappearance, they remained on this planet? No. Then what's the answer? So the answer I found in the commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he says that when Krishna had gone to North India, I think when he had gone to Kurukshetra for the Rajasuya sacrifice of Maharaj Yudhishthira, at that time, Krishna did not return directly to Dwarka. Where did he go? He went to Vrindavan for a short period of time for this very purpose, for sending the Vrindavan residents back to their respective place. And after finishing this business over there, Krishna comes back to Dwarka and then makes this arrangement, this violence and all. So now my question to you all is, if this happened with the residents of Vrindavan. Why is it not mentioned by Sukadeva Goswami? Any idea? Okay. So the answer is pretty interesting. So Sukadeva Goswami was actually concerned about Maharaj Parikshit. That if Krishna tells about this smooth disappearance of Vrindavan Vasis, then Parikshit Maharaj can feel bad that my ancestors had to undergo so much violence. Their deliverance was so harsh, you know. And Krishna was partial. He delivered these Vrindavan Vasis so smoothly. So just to make sure that Parikshit Maharaj doesn't get hurt, Sukadeva Goswami chose to skip this pastime, you know. So this is a very good lesson on sensitivity. Now sensitivity comes from humility, and humility comes from advancement in Krishna consciousness. So yeah. So yes, the Lord was sitting, taking rest against a young banyan tree. This young banyan tree is very symbolic. As Tarun Krishna was explaining, it's young. Why? Because this universe is the smallest of all. So that's why a young banyan tree. And this, because this banyan tree rests at Krishna's back, so it can also be taken as symbolic of the material nature. 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, right? Urdhva mulam adashakam ashvatham brahur avyayam chandam tiyasya parnani yastam vedasa vedavit. So, means this banyan tree is a symbolic of material nature. And yes, although Krishna had left all household comforts, he looked quite cheerful in that position. So yes, Krishna, it's not that because Krishna is not like us, that after losing all household comforts, he'll become morose, you know, not at all. Krishna is Atma Ram and Apta Kam. Atma Ram means he is self-satisfied, and Apta Kam means he can fulfill his desires by himself. He doesn't need any external object. He doesn't need any external person for fulfilling his desires. So, yes. And what to talk of Krishna? Even in Krishna's devotees, this quality can be found. You know, they don't become morose after losing material comforts. Any famous example? One example comes in 5th canto. Bharat Maharaj. It's mentioned that when Bharat Maharaj left his kingdom, he was in prime of his youth. Still, how he left it all? Malvat. Just like stool. After evacuation, we never lament, right? I lost 1 kg stool, 2 kg stool. No, we never lament. We just flush and run out of the restroom, right? So that's the analogy. I'm not giving this analogy, you know. Bhagavatam is giving this analogy. That's how Bharat Maharaj left his kingdom and went for the tapasya, you know. And lastly, here Srila Prabhupada mentions that the Lord was now prepared to leave this universe and go into another. So yes, just like Krishna's pastimes are eternally going on in the spiritual world, they are also going on eternally in the material world, in one universe or the other. And who participates in this Bhauma Leela? So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments in his commentary to Ujjwal Neelamani that when a sadhaka becomes siddha, when a practitioner becomes perfect, he is called sadhana siddha. So this sadhana siddha devotee, after leaving his body, he does not go directly to the spiritual world. Where does he go? He goes to one of these Bhauma Leelas, one of these universes where Krishna's pastimes are taking place. And after that, he goes back to the spiritual world. So yeah, means this is quoted by Srila Prabhupada and Chaitanya Charitamrita. So yes, that was mostly it from me. Any comments or questions? Yes, Malsi.
Jai Prabhu, thank you so much for all this nectar. I had always this question in my mind about the Krishna's queens. Okay, he liberated, he took back to Godhead all the Vrindavan residents, but the queens, they were stolen by these nasty cowherd people. How come this happened to Krishna's queens?
Krishna's queens were stolen by cowherd people.
Yes, when after Krishna's departure, he left his queens in the care of Arjuna.
Okay.
Then Srila Prabhupada is saying that Arjuna could not protect them from these cowherd people.
Okay.
That stole them. And he's explaining about when we are only as powerful as Krishna allows us to be. When Krishna was there, Arjuna was the most powerful warrior. But then Krishna departed, Arjuna could not protect the queens, and they were actually taken away.
Okay.
I always had this big question mark in my mind about what exactly...
So sorry, Mother. Yeah, I don't have much info about this. Anyone has a conclusive answer? Yes. Nishkinchan Krishna.
Hare Krishna, thank you for your class, Prabhu. I mean, one thing I heard, and I'm sure others can also corroborate, is to demonstrate that, you know, Arjuna was empowered by Krishna, so that's why he was able to do all the amazing things he did. And it was Krishna just, you know, showing that, the demonstration that, because he had now, you know, you could say unmanifested himself in that Leela. So that also shows that Arjun was playing the role of a living entity who's also fallible. So all the amazing things he did because of Krishna's empowerment. So now that Krishna's gone, so Arjun didn't have that ability to protect those queens in the way he would have before because he had the power. So for us as well, whatever amazing things we do, especially as devotees, is because of Krishna's empowerment. There's also another pastime that goes with it, is the queens, whether it's earlier in their lives or in their previous life, they were also like, you know, these wonderful damsels, and they saw this Muni. I think his name was Ashtavakra Muni, and he was bent in 8 points. And so, he looked like a cripple. And so those princesses, they laughed at him because of the way he would walk. He'd walk in a funny way because of his condition. And because of that, he cursed them that you will have to go for the reaction of getting abducted and not being saved. So, yeah, so Krishna kind of made both things possible.
All right, thank you.
Just to mention also that those hunters are actually expansions of Krishna as well. So that's why they weren't just ordinary hunters as well.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, anyways, yes, Mataji there.
Hare Krishna, thank you for the lesson. A dear senior devotee some time ago expresses this. Is it possible to realize Krishna, love him through a course, such as the wonderful courses that are held here at Bhaktivedanta Manor? No? What do you answer? I think this is an important occasion, but is it... always, obviously. What are the reasons why we can move away from Krishna? Instead of reaching him? What are the reasons why we can move away from Krishna instead of reaching him? Is just a question of knowledge and rules or purification? And I have another consideration. Why is the knowledge you just expressed you, allora, you, why is the knowledge you just expressed with so much love is important? There are many reasons. One that comes to my in my mind come from my experience. When we are very ill, depressed, sometimes we don't want association with a devotee, and in solitude, in pain, we have nothing left but to rely on ourselves. Reading and listening to Krishna pastime lights the heart.
Okay, so that's a comment, right? That's a comment, right? That's not a question.
Yeah, the question in first part is
what are the reasons one can go away from Krishna?
Yeah, for you the senior devotee give a question, and what you answer.
So your question is what are the reasons one can go away from Krishna, right?
A course is obviously you stay next to Krishna and love him is obviously when you make a course or another no.
Sorry, I'm not able to understand. Can I really summarize?
Okay.
No worries.
Sorry, I didn't get all of what you said there, Mataji, but you know the first bit, were you asking about whether a course can help us in progressing in our connection to Krishna? Oh, right. Ananta Prabhu, is it okay if I just share something? Because myself, Paramakaruna, Shilan Prabhu, we are actually part of the education team at the Bhaktivedanta Man and Karan Prabhu. And we can confirm that actually courses are very helpful. Obviously, if the holy names themselves, if you chant them with full focus, can get you to that love of Krishna. For example, Dhruva Maharaj, when he went to Madhuvan, instructed by his guru Narad Muni to chant the mantra Om Namah Bhagavate Vasudeva. That in itself was, he did it with so much focus that it was enabled him to get connection with Krishna straight away. But for a lot of us, it's difficult to do that. So therefore, the more we know about the person we're trying to love, then the better it is. And it's also said that when the shastras are there to help us to know the person we're trying to love, that's in Bhagavad Gita, it says, Ya shastra vidimutsrijya vartate kama karata nasa siddham avapnoti nasukham na param gatim. That, without following the shastra, one will not attain perfection or happiness in this life or the hereafter. And so shastra is essential to learn for us as devotees. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, Prabhupada is very much of the mood that we should learn the shastras in the association of devotees, like in a course format, and also in a systematic way. So what courses do is they systematically propagate the knowledge of the scriptures in a way that's relevant for everyone, and which is why the first purpose of ISKCON that Prabhupada has given us is to systematically propagate the education of this Krishna consciousness to all levels of society. So absolutely, courses are essential for us to actually learn and understand Krishna consciousness and help us connect.
Yeah.
And many people have actually got connected to Krishna consciousness through the power of courses. Yeah. Thank you. Sorry, Anantos.
No worries. Yeah, that's perfect. All right. I think we should end it over here. Okay.
Brothers, he was explaining that in Vrindavan, even Krishna's relatives, They have different colors. Their skins, some are green, some are blue, some are red, some are pink.
Yeah.
You know, they have different colors, as you were saying, that there's a variety in the spiritual world.
Okay.
And it's not just yellow, the colors of Krishna that he's wearing.
Okay.
It's also their skins are different.
Yeah. Okay, thank you so much.
Granthraj Srimad
Bhagavatam ki, Jyot Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, God Premanande.